pray together. Heavenly Father, we take a moment to surround our hearts again around this word that was just read to us from Galatians about the power of the Holy Spirit to place a new principle within our nature, our fallen nature, that wars, that struggles, that resists, that has different values and priorities. We want to thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, and we want to thank you for the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we pray that you will teach us, help us to know what it means to live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Prior to my leaving, I had begun a series called What? Me Holy? And we began this journey in Scripture about what it means to be holy. And we learned that this is a person-to-person call. This is God Himself coming to every one of us and saying, I want you to be holy as I am holy. And I know if you love me, you're going to want to be just like me. We also learn that God alone is holy. And we have no part in holiness except what is extended to us through Jesus Christ by God. We also learn that holiness means separation. We separate from anything and everything that is inconsistent with the character of a holy God. And we separate ourselves to, or we embrace anything and everything that would bring honor and glory to our holy God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We also learned that if we are to be holy, then we need to develop habits of holiness. That the essence of holiness is intimacy with God, and beholding, we are changed. We talked about God's holy word and how God's holy word is alive and it's active and it's able to penetrate the inner recesses of our inner private world and to stir our thinking and our motives and our feelings about things and transform us. And we learned that if we want to experience the holy, then we need to develop those habits of holiness, of Bible study and of prayer and of worship and regular time with God. Today, for just a few moments, I want to draw us to the reality that we can never be holy on our own. It's extended to us through Jesus, but it becomes a reality in our lives through the Holy Spirit of God. You've heard the story of the Eskimo fisherman, how he would show up every Saturday at the village. And he had a black dog and he had a white dog. And he taught those dogs how to fight. And he would take bets on those dogs and he'd set those dogs to fighting. And one week the black dog would win. The next week the white dog would win. Or maybe 3 weeks in a row the white dog would win. And then the black dog would win. But the Eskimo fisherman always won. And someone, you know, when it came to the bets, and so someone asked him, well, how do you do it? What are you doing? How is it that you always know which dog is going to win? And then he finally said, well, and you probably already figured out the story. He says, well, in the week between the fights, I feed only one of the dogs. And the dog that gets fed is the dog that wins. And Paul talks to us about the two natures that we have, our sinful human nature here in Galatians chapter 5. But then a new principle, a new spark of life, a new set of priorities, a new value system that's rooted in the character and the holiness of God. It's implanted in our being by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sets up a whole set of priorities that are in conflict with our old nature. And we're told that when the Holy Spirit does that, there's a battle that goes on inside. There's a battle to come to Jesus and experience conversion, but the battle doesn't end there. The battle begins there because the old nature always wants to rise up. But the promise of this passage is that the Holy Spirit of the living God comes and empowers us. Now, Paul tells us what kinds of actions come out of our lives when we follow our normal fallen human nature. There are sexual sins, there are societal sins, anger and disunity and bitterness and strife, and there are religious sins like idolatry and involvement in the paranormal and the supernatural and the demonic, and then there are the mood altering substances, the alcohol and the partying, how we dumb ourselves down. These are the kinds of things that if we follow our normal human nature, our natural human nature, these are the directions that we will go in. But Paul tells us the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can be different, that we can be like the holy God who invites us to be holy like himself. And what is interesting to me, that the word Spirit in the Bible means wind. It's translated wind, it's translated air, and that's for a reason. The idea of wind and air has movement to it, it has life to it, it has power to it, like you have pneumatic tools. Those of us that have a few pneumatic tools, you plug them into the air, they work. Without the air, those tools don't work at all. And that is kind of the image that the New Testament draws from the Old Testament, where God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living being. And so this linkage between the air and the breath and the Spirit of God is carried through in the context of the moral spiritual life of human beings, that we are dead in sin, and we are powerless on our own unless the Holy Spirit comes as if it's the breath of God to our dead self, and we come alive and we are empowered to live in a way that's consistent with what it means to be like God. The New Testament over and over refers to the Spirit as holy. In the Old Testament, God is holy. In the New Testament, God is hardly ever called holy. But the Spirit is called holy over and over and over and over. And it is this Spirit who comes and dwells within our hearts. This Spirit who invades our inner private world. This Spirit who convicts us. This Spirit who illuminates us, or illumines our mind. This Spirit who guides and teaches. This Spirit who enables us to see Jesus Christ in a new, profound way that reveals to us Jesus Christ. It is this Spirit that produces in us that life of holiness. Without the Spirit, we cannot do it. Now, in my flight from our flight from Sochi, Russia, to Moscow the other day, I was in the airplane along with everybody else, and I like an aisle seat. And if you can imagine, I'm sitting in an aisle seat, and I pulled my Bible out. I was reading my Bible. I was reading through the book of Hebrews. I was working on a couple verses in my mind. I was praying. I would think about some verses and some phrases. I'd think about them. I was praying. I was praying for the people that we had just left. I was praying for our village family and the decisions that we were making. And I have having no idea how things were going. And I was just absorbed in spiritual things. And I was feeling close to God. Now, I'm sitting in an aisle seat. And across the aisle, there's a seat, obviously, and then the seat next up. And I want you to imagine a fella sitting in that, across the aisle, one seat up. And he's got a full spread newspaper, tabloid, full spread, all right? And he's opening it up and he's reading it. And I'm carried away in this, the book of Hebrews and these awesome images of Jesus Christ and the grace and the power that we have in Jesus Christ. And I look up. And I look over. And suddenly I see a full page, beautiful, blonde, bare-breasted woman. Now you tell me what happened in that fraction of a second. Suddenly my soaring with God, came to an abrupt end, right? An abrupt end. It's not like I chose, not like I even chose to keep looking. But as I looked back and started to get back into the Word, I mean, it was just like it was just so disjointed. And that's how all of our lives are. For me, in that plane, it was that picture. For you, it may be somebody that you've had a run-in with, and you're growing fine, but then suddenly you see them on the sidewalk or in a store, and all those ugly feelings come back up. Or there is some experience that you've had, something that has to do with your finances, something that has to do with a relationship, something that has to do with some choice that yanks you away from what is spiritual, that experience that you are wanting to grow in God, and yanks you right back to the world. Well, it took me a few minutes to get my mind engaged again back where I was. And then, you know, for the next few minutes, I'm reading away, and, you know, you can't keep your nose buried in a book always, and so you look back up, and there's that magazine still there. That's how life is. The choices that we make with respect to the Spirit and what it means to walk after the Spirit. To choose after the Spirit. Those of you that have traveled in Europe and some of the countries of Europe will realize that many people live in little compounds. Their houses are surrounded by fences and they have big iron doors, gates on these fences. And everybody lives in a little compound, or groups of individuals live in a compound. And those gates let people in. They also keep people from going out. Our hearts are like, and the choices that we make are like those gates. And we need to open the gates of our lives, and we need to push through the power of the Holy Spirit and through conscious choice. We need to push certain things out through those gates to get them out of the compound of our thinking and our feelings. Whether it's anger or immorality or connection with the supernatural or some mood-altering substance, as we are given in this list of four categories, we need, through the power of God, to thrust them out and refuse to allow them to be a central focal point of our lives. And on the other hand, we need to invite in. We need to choose to invite into our inner private world, the compound of our world, so to speak. What is lovely and what is pure and true. And to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit and how He impresses us, how He leads our conscience, how He speaks to our conscience, how He illuminates us, how He brings the Word to life, how He speaks to us through different situations, to bring those things in and welcome them within our heart. Paul tells us that the acts of our normal human nature will take us down a certain path, but the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life will have profound impact on our lives. It will produce fruit. The Holy Spirit will produce fruit in your heart. He will produce fruit in your life. We stood on the border of Abkhazia. Abkhazia is a little republic that declared independence 10 years ago. Nobody has recognized them. Nobody. And so they're a little country there that's stuck out there in the middle of several other countries. And the saying is that nobody travels through there and survives unless you live there. Unless you're one of those people. I asked what the national instrument was, because whenever I travel, Kathy loves music, we love music, and I always look for the national folk music instruments. In fact, I brought two of them back with me this time. A duduka, which is kind of like a flute, but it has a reed on the end of it, and it has a real powerful sound to it. You're going to have to listen to it, Jose. Then I brought back a kamancha, which is like a little baby cello, but it's shaped totally different. So anyway, I was asking what the folk instrument for Abkhazia is, and somebody says it's the Kalashnikov. You know, that's the sound that they like, the machine guns. And So you have this wary feeling, you know, and we're glad that we flew over Abkhazia rather than trying to drive through it like our original plans had. We're told that only UN vehicles drive through there now, and even they are at risk in doing so. But anyway, we were standing on the border, looking over at Abkhazia, and I want you to imagine this big bazaar, this big market, with thousands of people jostling and milling around, and these people come down from the mountains, and they bring their fruit with them. And we stood there on the border eating fruit that I've never eaten before in my life, and I broke all my rules of eating overseas. You know, I ate stuff without being washed, and I don't know what kind of bacteria I got, but I ate some fruit that I could hardly reproduce the name of what they were said they were when they were handed to me, but they sure tasted good. Different fruits, beautiful fruits, some fruit that looked rotten, but I was told tastes really good, and sure enough, it did taste good, and some stuff that didn't look like fruit at all, and you bite the top off of it and squeeze it and suck the innards out of it. Really good stuff. Growing there on this mountain among a people that are pretty ruthless, at least it sounds that way. The Holy Spirit is able to produce beautiful fruit in our lives. Love, patience, kindness, self-control, gentleness, mercy, purity. The Holy Spirit can do that. And it's never a matter of how much of the Holy Spirit we have that is a matter of holiness, but it's how much of us the Holy Spirit has. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, He comes in His fullness. He comes totally. The question always is, does He have all of us? And that's what the question of holiness comes down to. As we talked about developing habits of holiness, beholding we are changed, the choices of holiness, living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, obeying the Spirit, asking for the Holy Spirit to illumine, asking for the Holy Spirit to guide, asking for the Holy Spirit to lead, and obeying that inner voice as it speaks to us, no matter how or what He says for us to do and be. Chuck Colson started that ministry called Prison Fellowship. You know, he was one of the individuals involved in Watergate, and he wound up in prison. And so he developed a sensitivity for what it meant to be in prison. And so he developed this Christian ministry for prison inmates. So he's traveled the world and has visited prisons all over the world. And one prison that intrigued him was a prison down in Brazil that he had heard had been handed over by Brazilian authorities to two Christian individuals. And that this prison was operated under totally different kinds of principles than any other prison that he had ever heard about. And so he traveled to Brazil to see this prison. I want you to imagine a prison, a maximum security prison, that has murderers and rapists and thieves and violent people, all different kinds of crimes represented. I want you to imagine this kind of maximum security prison with hundreds of inmates, but there are only two full-time workers, paid staff, two full-time paid staff, and everybody else, every other position in the prison is run by an inmate, including the murderer, who will welcome you at the gate with all the keys to the prison. He will unlock the prison and welcome you in and show you around. You will be surprised to see that the people there look peaceful. There's no vulgar graffiti all over, but there's placards that have Bible verses and positive things. You go into the cells and you find clean environments. You find individuals living like real human beings. In fact, the prison was renamed Humaita, And then you hear about the notorious torture cell, solitary confinement. And you're asked whether you want to see that cell and see the one prisoner who's in that notorious cell. So you pass all these other people who are at peace and they are growing. People in the community have adopted an inmate, have given them work and promised them work when they get out. It's an fascinating study in the principles of Christianity. But you go with Chuck Colson as he describes it through this notorious torture chamber, the isolation cell. He's been to isolation cells all around the world. And he is asked as he walks down the corridor towards this big iron door with the murderer who has the keys to the whole facility. He's asked, "Are you sure you want to see this cell?" "Yes, I'm sure." "Are you sure you want to see who's in there?" "Yes, I am sure." And so he puts the key in the lock and unlocks it and slowly pulls the door open. And as Colson's eyes become accustomed to the darkness of that torture cell, he sees the one lonely inmate. A full-size crucifix. Jesus hanging on the cross. And his guide says, "He's doing time for every one of us." The power of God's grace through the death of Jesus Christ to open the heart to the ministry of the Holy Spirit who will produce a life of holiness in us. Paul says that those who follow the Spirit have crucified their flesh. They've nailed it to the cross with Jesus Christ. And as Paul says in the book of Galatians as it closes, he says, "I don't want to boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. And because of that cross, I have lost all interest in the world. And as the world looks at me, the world sees nothing of interest in me. I am of no importance to the world at all. But I will cling to that cross." And when that cross stands up with all of its glory and all of its power in our lives, you and I too will have our hearts open to say, "Yes, I want to live by the Spirit and I want to walk by the Spirit. And I will allow that Holy Spirit to do anything in my life that will enable me in my character and in my living to represent the holy God who has invited me to be holy like He is holy." May God bless you. May He bless me as we open ourselves the gates of our heart to just such an infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. That when we come to the Holy Word and we develop those patterns of holiness, those habits of holiness, that we say yes to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we will find ourselves being transformed and changed until we are like God.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2004, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. Visit our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, plus thousands of other selections to choose from. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover credit cards. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international orders, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 29 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.